Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful day. Every day is a wonderful day. And every day you should expect something powerful. Amen? Because expectation is the atmosphere that creates what it is that you expect. You know that scripture says in Jeremiah 29, you know it. It says, I know the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But now get it in the King James Version. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, to give you the end that you expect. So if you expect something evil, I don't know who is going to give it to you. But you see, it says to give you the end that you expect. So you're supposed to always, at every single time, wake up and expect wonderful things every day. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, you say, what if they don't happen? Then you expect them again the next day. Amen? And again, until it becomes like you're a perpetually expectant person. And now expectation is what actually brings. Now the thoughts to give you the end that you expect, the end that you've designed for yourself. Now, if I was to actually slice through the minds of so many people here, and I see what they expect of themselves, what they expect they are going to turn out like, some of them might be very, very miserable. And of course, they hope, you see, they hope that it will be different. But there is no place for hope. There is place for expectation. What is it that you expect? And now expectation is something active that you are actually looking out for. Now, of course, everybody hopes for the best. But there's no way it says it's going to give you what you hope for. It says it's going to give you what you expect. Praise the Lord. Now, this can seem like some sort of semantics. These are just English words. They are not. They are actually absolutely not. Because the beginning of the year, the beginning of the day, the beginning of the week, you have to sit down and actually map out your expectation and say, this is what I expect to see this week. Now, don't worry if you do not see it. There is no tax for expectation, that you're going to pay tax if you expect and it doesn't happen. No, just expect. Then the next week, expect something even grander than last week, which apparently didn't happen. Amen? Because it is by perpetually getting yourself into a place of expectation that actually he knows the thoughts that he has towards you. Okay? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Give me a future and an expected end. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not even what I came to talk about. I was just ambushed to talk about it here. But there is a reason why. Okay? Now, go to Acts chapter 3 and I show you something quickly before I go into exactly what it is that I came to speak about. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, who seeing Peter and John asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, now this are the apostles fixing their eyes on the man. Now imagine this man is seated there asking for money. And now when they fix their eyes on him, he's expecting something. Okay? He says, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. Praise the Lord. That's very powerful. There is nothing that would happen unless he expects. Now, of course, he expected money. But now it was up to the apostles to define that we are not giving you money, we are giving you something better than money. But at the heart of it, there has to be an expectation. So now this man fixed his eyes on them, and they told him, look at us. I don't know how long that would have taken, but imagine he says, look at us. Then suddenly, he knows something is going to change, and is in a place of expectancy. And then now it is the disciples, or the apostles at the time, define what it is they are giving him. Okay, we are not giving you money, but we are giving you something else. Praise the Lord. So now, everybody, every day, has to wake up and be expecting something good to happen. Praise the Lord. When you come here, expect something good to happen. Expect you're going to get an answer for something that you've been asking God about. Expect that a word is going to change your life. Like, there has to be like an expectancy all the time. Praise the Lord. Now you can be there and you have no money on you. And you're with somebody who has no money on him also. And you're the same. But the other is expecting a lot of money and you're not. Are you the same? You're not. Well, have you ever seen somebody who is expecting nothing? Like they are the most despondent people. They are there. You know, sometimes even what he's expecting might not come to pass. But the place of expectancy is higher than the place of despondency. And you know, yeah, I have nothing. And you've settled. You've sorted yourself. I have nothing. And there is nothing that you're looking out for. Nothing that you're apparently, you know, anxious about that is going to happen. Something good. Of course, some people have expectations of bad things to happen to them. Okay? As if they are under judgment. Now, the scripture says when people are under judgment, they have a perpetual expectation of something bad going to happen to them. But that is when they are under the judgment of God. And now sometimes the bad thing might not happen. But that in itself is a big problem. Imagine you wake up in the morning expecting something bad. Even if it doesn't happen, then the next day, it kind of puts you in a place. And that is judgment in itself. And even bad things may never happen. But you're under judgment. Now, there is no way somebody who is a believer here with us can be expecting any bad. Based on what? You're not under any judgment. You're under the grace of God. Okay? You're covered by the mercies of God. You are supposed to be expecting good things every day. This year. You see, and I see people who mock those things. Eh? You started last year saying it's going to be a year. Yes, even this one is going to be a great year. Now, of course, the devil whispers to you and says, what if? Now, the devil is the same all over the world, man. Like, he only has to do what if. You know, have you ever gone to court? And neither have I in these scenarios. Just what you see in the movies. Where there is a defense attorney, and he doesn't have to prove his client did not kill. No. He just has to create doubt. He doesn't have to prove anything. It's the other ones who have to prove that beyond doubt, he's the one who killed. So we can trace his blood. We can trace him at the scene of the crime. We can do this. Now, the defense attorney is not proving anything. He's just poking holes in your argument. That's how the devil is. Eh? He doesn't have to. He just pokes holes in your argument. Pokes holes in your argument. I remember I was listening to a story of Reinhard Bonnke, and he said he goes somewhere one day and is at a crusade, and he hears the Lord tells him that, I want you to pray for all people who are totally blind. But that was his thing. For some reason, he found it so easy to get blind people to see. So he says, anybody here who is completely blind, then he says there were a number of people who, you know, put up. Then he says, in a few minutes, you are going to be seeing me here on this pulpit. Then he says, he hears the voice of the devil saying, what if nothing happens? Now, that's where most people, you know, say, what if nothing happens? Then he said, he told the devil that it doesn't matter as long as I've obeyed the voice of God. Now there you've knocked him out. Because he wants you to look away from there to yourself. You're going to embarrass yourself. You've called out people, what if nothing happens? So anyhow, he prayed for them and all of them saw. Perfectly. And that was his thing. And he always used to go for blind people. Praise the Lord. Now anyway, so expect something good every day. Glory to God. Now, John 15, let's go to John 15. Says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, I'll tell you this, that for the most part, when people are called of God, the journey starts out a bit good. I know, you know, like anybody who has walked down this journey. But people come with a lot of baggage that they come with. Okay? They come with the baggage of somebody whom they want to kukakasa, who did not believe in them. You know, so many people, by the way, you see them even, you know, apparently serving God, but there's just one person whom they want to prove wrong. Am I right? Some of you understand that more than others. Like there's this person who perhaps belittled you, who seemed to have something better than you and what, and like in all your mind, this is the person whom you are looking at and saying that this person will allow, they will allow. Then you even quote scripture. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. For even if I have fallen, I will yet rise. But actually, there is this one person whom you're looking at and you're saying, man, I wish, like, maybe because they seem to have an advantage over you in time, or maybe because they were part of your support group and a group of people whom you found support from. And you left them, the call of God calling you, and somehow they belittled you and they seem to think you're not doing anything. Ah, man, look at you, you've done this, you know where I look at, and all those things. And they say so many things. And those things hurt, don't they? They hurt. So deep down, you actually want that come moment when they come and acknowledge you, we are right all along. I have news for you, it's not going to happen. But it doesn't matter. As long as God says you are what? You are right. They never do. Even when they have acknowledged quietly behind the scenes that you are right, they will never come and tell you. They cannot give you that win. Human beings are not born like that. So you have to know it. And if you're held in bondage by such things, and if you had some fruit, remember, then you qualify for being pruned. Now, pruning is separating you from certain people, from certain influences, from certain habits, from certain expectations which are fleshly, and actually making you somebody who is going to bear more fruit. Just like the real pruning is. Because when you cut off, you know, these excess branches, all the energies goes towards the fruit that you're interested in. And because these ones just take, you know, energy for nothing. They take nutrients for nothing. And yet you need the nutrients in a certain place. So anyhow, so the pruning starts. And that's where the cries come. People cry. I don't want to leave this group of people. These are my gangos. These are my people, you know, they know me, they will know each other, we are what? But God is saying, there's no way you're going to bear fruit when you're among them. You see, let me tell you, people go to places for all sorts of different reasons. Even here, there are people who are here because they have friends and what, and it's a cozy mentality. And they really don't come here expecting to receive something. Now, I remember during lockdown, there was some guy went and wrote on social media. And he was pretending, like, I think that he was concerned, but I think he was just mocking. Because he went and got, you know, those live broadcasts which people were doing on Facebook. And then went and took screenshots of some of the top pastors in this city. And the guy is there unleashing the word, and there are two people viewing. Then another three, then another five. I'm talking about top pastors. So the guy gathered all these screenshots. I said, but man, this, he said that this social media has humiliated our men of God. People who are praying as a field stadiums, now only two people are watching. Now, okay, it was funny. I think he was even mocking, although you know, people who try, can you imagine as if he's concerned? But if you're concerned, why are you broadcasting it for everybody? But now, the thing is this, that's your real value there. Because people can come to your church because they have friends, because they have a girl they are chasing, because they are, you know, all those things. But maybe not because they want to hear what you have to say. But now if it's on social media, where they have all sorts of other options. They can scroll, there's here, they can go here, they can watch football, they can watch the highlights of Liverpool being hammered, they can, you know, You see, they have all sorts of other options. If they choose you, that is your real value. Anyway. Sorry, not your real value, but you know, Because, you know, people go to churches for all sorts of reasons. And then somebody tells you that, and I know that because I see people who do not, never seem to develop, to move on from one level to the other. And then you know they are not necessarily there to receive something. They might be there because it's a good community. Churches are good communities, aren't they? Yeah. So you have friends and so on, but you are not actually there to receive something. Now that is really sad. That is very, very sad. Because you can have both. Eh? You can have the community and people to jazz with and what, take tea and what, and pork. But then you actually, in that time of, you are receiving something. Praise the Lord. And you are like Mary, not like Martha. Because I find that funny. Because Jesus came to visit. And they were cooking food. And he was going to eat the food. It's not like he was not going to eat it. He was going to eat it. But he told Martha that you're too concerned over so many things. Mary has chosen the better one. But Lord, if everybody sat down, there would be no food. But what he's saying, you can actually do both. Okay? Because there is value in serving him. Okay? Even food. You see? Eh? But then there is more value as he said, in sitting down and listening to his word. But it's good to do both. Now, most people end up on one and not the other. And I've seen that. People who are so active, and actually they are not receiving. And then those who seem to be passive are the ones actually who are receiving. And I'm not encouraging passiveness. Okay? But I'm saying that you can do both. Anyway, so now every branch that does not bear fruit, he cuts, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes. He separates that person from certain influences. And now, I wish you knew how these influences can pull you down properly. Properly. And you get to a point where there are these people whom you are desperate to please. And you are apparently pursuing God, but the people whom you want to acknowledge you. And their approval is so important to you. So important that God is somewhere secondary in the picture. And now God has to find a way of getting you away from them and polar and polar. And even the greatest people actually, he had to take his time. Like Abraham. Abraham, God tells him, get out of this place. Get out of your family, your kindred, and all your relatives. Go. Go to some other place. Abraham goes with his father. Did you know that? He went with his father, a man called Terah. Then they reach somewhere and they stop. Those were not the instructions. Then his father dies. Then he proceeds. Now there is one less baggage. So he proceeds. But now he proceeds with Lot. Because he wants some reminder of who he is, his identity. Because you see now you just go, nobody knows who you are, you don't have any relatives, you don't have any... That's what God wanted. So he goes with Lot. But still nothing happens. Nothing serious happens. Until he separates with Lot. That's when God tells him, now look northwards, southwards. Now if he had not separated from Lot, that command would not have come. Now the trouble is this. Sometimes people whom you are called to rule over, you're actually looking up to them. Because maybe they had a better start in life than you. They were the superstars in school and what. And actually you're called to rule over them. And you have to first get away from them. You cannot impose yourself when you're there with them. So God has to prune them away. But the pruning is painful. And I'm sure some of you know it. So there are certain friends. You've sort of made some success. There are some friends whom you want to what? Hold around. Then you say, we have a get-together. But what you are trying to show them that, look at the house I'm staying in. Now, you can't even be that honest with yourself. You understand? I remember, these things, when you see them in their rawest form, is when you acknowledge what they are. I remember some pastor whom I used to go and preach at his church somewhere in Imbarar long ago. So I meet him. There was Maurice Seruro. Maurice Seruro was coming to Uganda and was at Miracle Center. So I decided to go and, attend Maurice Seruro. So I meet this guy. He says, hey, Kableta, how are you? What? Then now I'm talking to him. He's walking. I'm talking. He's walking. So I'm forced to follow him. So I'm wondering, where can this guy stand and we talk? So I'm forced to follow him. Then we reach somewhere, then he presses his car and it opens. Then I said, oh, you wanted me to see your car. Eh? So I said, oh man, you have such a nice car. I said, yeah man. Now you imagine, You imagine you meet somebody here, because we walked quite a distance. Imagine you meet me here and you're trying to talk to me, and I say, yes, you know, and I parked down there. Yeah, you know what? And then you go, then when I reach and you press the car thing and the car opened, then it pretended to be getting something from it. Then he picks nothing from the car. Yeah. Then we went back where I found him. And I knew, okay, it was about the car. Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you, when you still have those childishness, you need a lot of pruning. To be very honest with you, you need a lot of pruning, because you're a child and God has something powerful for you, but man, you're not ready. Because there's some other person you want to kukakasa. And it is such a big influence in your life. And now God is going to have to prune you away from that person slowly. It will be painful. It's always painful. But that is the cost of having more fruit. Okay? Amen? Yeah. Because you have to understand that there are people God has called you to be over. So even when you want to have fun, don't have fun with them. Find another crowd to have fun with. Praise the Lord. Yeah. There's a time I would go some places to watch football. And I'm saying, yeah, man, what? Now imagine if I did that. There's nothing wrong with me enjoying my what? Yeah, but sometimes I have to go and sit home and watch it alone. Then my wife comes and she's bored, then she goes to sleep. And I'm there and my team scores and I'm there alone. Yeah. Like, and then you say, man, like, it's nowhere as interesting as it used to be. Because you know when you're with people, you are, you know how it is. Although when I'm in people, sometimes they want to beat me up. Especially if their team what? Loses. Because I know how to rub it in properly. There was a time I was with Pastor Jack and said, "Nego, watch money go." Because he supports Liverpool and they hammered them. So he was like, "Nego, watch money." Anyway, so, but my point is that the people become narrower. Are you ready for that? That's the price of actually more fruit. Like your group becomes narrower, and the people whom apparently at some stage you would want to assure that you've reached somewhere now seem to be of no significance whatsoever to you, because you've moved to a certain place and God is still taking you to another place. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, since God knows that it's not good to perform without an audience, you know that. Even in sport, everyone needs a what? An audience. Remember that time when there was that COVID rubbish and teams were playing behind what? Closed doors. That's not the same. It's not the same without the crowd. It's okay. You're watching. And you can see even the players themselves are not performing at the same level without the audience, isn't it? Because everyone needs an audience. Everyone needs somebody to cheer them up. Praise the Lord. But the people whom you wanted to cheer you up, God has separated you from them. But thankfully, he got you an audience that is better. Praise the Lord. Only that you might not necessarily hear their cheers, but they are there. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, people who are watching us." So you're performing, and there are people who are watching you, who have been through everything you've been through. Praise the Lord. And they are there. And they have no jealousy. They have no envy. They are cheering you on. Even those who did not do so great are cheering you on every time they see you. Because they are in heaven. They have been rid of those things which disturb other people. And they have no competition. Because here I know there are people whom I know. And you see this one is competing with somebody. And they will never have peace unless they are sure that they are better than that person. And now how limiting is that? You've made that person your standard. Once you exceed them, you've arrived. How can you limit God like that? There's somebody I know whom, for him, I am his competition. I cannot even say certain things when he's there because I know he's going to be messed up completely. So he comes and says, "What is the biggest seed you've ever given?" They say, You didn't chill that bad. What if I told him he's going to get angry? Now, and you see, like, and people can be very competitive. And that's how the kingdom of darkness is. It's all built on competition. And the devil enjoys it when one person slays the other to get their powers and what. The kingdom of light is not built on competition. We are working in the same kingdom. And God needs all of us. Praise the Lord. Now, God has to first take that away from you completely for you to become, you know, the finished article that he is. And then he gives you the real crowd that matters, a crowd of witnesses. Then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now let's go back, because he talks about, so he says that this crowd of witnesses who are looking at you, everything that you go through, they've been through. And actually, they're encouraging you. So if for some reason, for the gospel, you're put in prison, Paul is there looking at you saying, been there, done that. Be strong as well. You'll also come out of prison. So if you're in a shipwreck, like he was, he's also there. You understand? Everything that you go through, he's there. Now, when you become conscious of that crowd, you will cease to be conscious of this crowd. I'm telling you the honest truth. When you become conscious of what do these people think about me, what do these, you know, guys think about me. Now, I think I probably told you this. One day, I was sitting there in the sitting room. Then my son comes and tells me he had been having those, you know, event visitations. Then he tells me, Catherine Kuhlman said hi to you. I said, Catherine Kuhlman? Okay. Sounds good. Then he said somebody else, another person was an evangelist. Then he says, I'm seeing, and you're sitting there with me in the sitting room. I'm saying, I'm seeing her here. She's saying, tell the watchman, not your dad, the watchman. Then what amused me is that his sister said that, where does it say tell your father? Then he said, because in the spirit is not my father. I said, this boy is bad. So he says, tell the watchman. And that's what he's saying. Then I said, hey, why are you only evangelist? I know why now, of course. I know why those people. Then I left him there. And he was in this mood. So I went to my bedroom to dress up and, you know, go somewhere. That was during campaigns. So then I'm about to enter the shower. Then he's knocking very hard. Dad, come. Then he comes and tells me, Daniel is here. He says he's very proud of you. Now, when you are conscious of that crowd, you will not be conscious of these ones. Because that's the crowd you are going to live with in eternity. These were people who somebody was from a rich family at school. He was the one who was, you know, all this. So now I want to show them that I've also arrived. So you say we have like a Christmas party at my place. You understand? But you just want to show them. Then you take them for a tour of the house. This is my study room where I pray in tongues. And then this is a meditation room where I sit and meditate. And like, it's all rubbish. You're just being childish. You're basically just showing off. And I can imagine that the crowd of witnesses, they are saying, they are looking at you saying, now you're a baby. The real crowd that matters, praise the Lord. Now, from whom you are supposed to be weaned if you are going to be of any value whatsoever. I mean, for these ones, you are supposed to be weaned, pruned from them. Weaned from the desire to get their approval. And there's some people, and you're there, and there's somebody stamps and says, yam, you will never be happy. And now that person is like God. Okay, not necessarily, but you know what I mean. You're not completely beholden to the Lord. And therefore, you cannot be as effective as you would be because of that. Some people, it's even the spouse. That's what it was with some reformer. I was reading that book of, what's he called? Rick Joyner. And he said he met this great reformer. Great reformer. And here, he's such a great person on earth. But there, he's like in the Chirasha of heaven. Okay, not Chirasha, but the first heaven, you see, You know first heaven, Where are we, the Muslims who received Christ on the last day of their life? And the person is there with who? With Victor. And Victor was here surfing. I'm joking. And you're there with some Muslim who received Jesus. When he's going to die, then he's in heaven. So that kind of place, where you are, people who did nothing whatsoever. And they are being taught. But you know, they actually teach them. They are being taught the Bible in heaven. The word of God is eternal. You think it ends here? It's eternal. Because that same guy whose story I'm telling you says that he met Apostle Paul and he was there discussing his epistles with the guys. But you're the one who wrote them. No, he's not the one. It is the Holy Spirit. And they are eternal. They are deeper than him. He was just the vessel. So they are there. So it's anyway. So what I'm saying is, so he asked the guy, how come you ended up here? You're so great on earth. The guy said that I started off well, but eventually I was just doing everything to please my wife, not to please God. So you do all the great things, but for the wrong reasons, and you end up with what? The chirash. By the way, let me tell you, don't think you can separate God from motives. There are some people who think you can separate God from motives. You can't. If I even did any of those things which people do, of making me walk like 30 meters because you want to show me your car, I would immediately feel a rebuke from God. Or trying to, this is where I meditate. You meditate, why are you showing people where? If I try to pull off any of those things, by the way, I would know immediately that I've grieved the Spirit. But of course, some people, some of you can do it because, it will now much to say. And that's the whole point. And it is so childish. It is very, very, very childish. And some people, by the way, depending on your level, it can even come with consequences when you're showing off. You can lose something for which you are showing off. For some people, not for everybody. Amen? If you get something nice, let it be for you. Enjoy it. Some of you cannot enjoy unless you've kukakasad some people. I'm trying to get something across here. Like where? You know, like my daughter, she went to swim somewhere. So she posted pictures. Then my wife asked her, so did you have fun? She said, not really. Then she said, but what matters is my friends think I did. Now that is a real childish. But of course, you expect it of her. But now imagine if you're a mature person and you don't even enjoy the swimming, but you're just doing it for what? For content. Some of you ladies even like you can't even a good meal they will bring and serve, then you get your camera. Not that there's anything wrong with that, per se. But the point is, enjoy the meal more than that rubbish. It's about the meal is for you. Just enjoy it. Eat it. You dive inside it. Get your fork and your knife and gratify your appetite. That's where the real pleasure is. But some of you, the pleasure is in showing other people. Then you post on Instagram with some caption. Man, and then the crowd of witnesses are looking at you saying, imagine Apostle Paul looking at you doing what? Posting food. He looks and said, man, okay, not you, me. Imagine if I did that. Now, because my point is, of course, it's proper for a certain age and what. But now as the pruning starts, and as God starts trying to do powerful things, there are certain things you have to get rid of. You have to know that since we are surrounded, now this is, that means you have a bigger crowd than even those, any football, any what. Like, there's a huge crowd watching you perform. Now, if that's not a motivation, then I don't know what is. Only that, of course, you'd rather it was, but they're not going to watch your Instagram. Or, you know, my point is, it's not something that you would want, canary, that you would want. But there are people who are watching you. And actually, they're impressed by you. And now when you fit it in your head that everything here is for my eternal reward, everything is for my eternal reward. Praise the Lord. Now, the purpose of the pruning, actually, is to make God the center of your life. That's it, just God. So that you do everything to please God. Then there, all the other people, if they are pleased, or if they are not pleased, that is really none of your business. You're only doing it for the audience of God and the crowd of witnesses whom he has put there for you. All these people who are looking at you, who went before you, praise the Lord. And to make your motive about God. So now when I started getting away from this thing, and now the pruning, when the pruning starts, it affects character. Have you ever seen people who are so talkative? Very talkative. They have an opinion on everything. If you don't ask them for their opinion, they get angry. If you ask them, they even first clear their voice. Now, me, what I think, have you ever seen people like that? When the pruning starts, they become quiet. Now, that's how you know somebody is now moving deeper into God. They become quiet. Then suddenly, you even ask for their opinion, and they say, ah, man, I don't know. Like, and yet this is the person who would wait for you to ask their opinion. Now, suddenly, they are isolated, they are quiet, then you know the pruning has started. And some other characters change, some other things about them change. Previously, they were so verbose, they were so, you know, extroverted and things like that. Then suddenly, you find them seated looking and it's like they are, something is on their mind all the time. Then you know the pruning has started. But it's a good thing because after that, it will yield something good. Amen? And actually, after some time, you can go back. Usually, you go back into your character, which God gave, because the personality was given by God. Okay? He doesn't make you a talkative person and wants you to be quiet. No. But the pruning is just to bring you to a certain place. So that when you go back there, now you're a different person. You're not, you know, talking. And now, the other thing of pruning, by the way, is what you talk. The things you say. When you start walking with God, you'll start a story and stop somewhere. Because you feel that thing, don't say that. Don't go there. Don't go in that direction. And then the person you're telling, you say, what, you are telling me this? Then you say, no, it's okay. Then you confuse them and what? And you fail to the nudge. Now, if you do not respond to that nudge, you will never clearly hear the voice of God. Because the more you obey it, the more it becomes louder and louder and louder. The more you disobey it, the more you actually push it down and down and down. Now, when somebody says the Lord has said something and they are very sure, it's because there's been a practice of every small thing, you know, listening to God. Like, for instance, everything. Now, of course, over the years, I've kind of practiced this. The other day, I left home and I was going to Golobi last Sunday. Then there is a route I usually take. As soon as I branched there, I knew I'd made a mistake. But then I thought, maybe it's a bit weird. I didn't know why I'd made a mistake. Maybe it's a bit weird to turn back and now go back where I didn't take another route. So I said, let me just proceed. Big mistake. I reached there working on the roads. They had blocked this road. Then you go up and take this other through this, you know what, and go here. Then they have also blocked that one. Then you, man, a journey which should have taken me like 30 minutes. Took me about an hour and something. And I knew it inside me that I'm not supposed to take that route. Now, over time, I've practiced that I just come out of home and I'm going, let's say, to town, and I will know, take this direction or take the other direction. And usually I obey. Sometimes I don't think about it until I've gone some meters down. Now, the point is this. The point I'm trying to make for you here is this. You can actually practice listening to those small, small things. Eh? Small things. The other day I was here seeing people. The first time I came here to see people on Wednesday. And I was absolutely freezing. I've never felt so cold in my life. In Uganda. In Kampala. Maybe somewhere else, like in Kabale. But in Kampala, I was absolutely freezing. But when I left home, I had a clear direction to carry a jacket. I did not. So my point is, all those simple, simple directions, they lead up to something big. If you practice, when you yield yourself to them slowly by slowly by slowly, they might seem like, don't do this, don't eat this, don't do this, don't do this, or do this. Not just don't say that. You start a story, then you feed inside, you are not supposed to say it, then you keep quiet. Have you ever seen people start something and stop? You know those are people who are led by the Spirit, because he will always tell you, don't go there. Don't say that. Praise the Lord. Now that's the pruning. Now, if you do not accept the pruning, you never get to a certain level. I remember this is the story of Benny Hinn saying after he had just started his, you know, those powerful crusades. So he went for this morning crusade and it was so powerful. He said so powerful. There were so many healings and the Spirit of God moved so powerfully and, you know, it was all that. Then at lunchtime, he had to go to his parents-in-law. They invited him because I think it was the crusade was in the city where they stay. So they invited him over for lunch. So he went to his parents-in-law for lunch. Now when he's seated, they are about to serve lunch. He says he had the Spirit telling him, get out of this place, go and pray. Go somewhere and pray. He said, but Lord, man, these are the parents of my wife. What are they going to think? What? And now, if you're lucky, he will say it again. But usually he says it once. So he just left him. So he continued. And then you think you've gotten out with it. Eh? So he continued. They served lunch. He ate. He said he went to the... in the afternoon, the place was packed because people knew if in the morning it was like this, afternoon is going to be very, very, very powerful. He said he went in the afternoon, it was dry, the driest, dry, dry. He even wanted to cry. Because you see, after you've been pruned properly, you know there is nothing you can do. You become so powerless. You know you're dependent on the Holy Spirit. And now that is the whole point, that to get you to a point where you know everything that I am, everything that I do, everything, you know, eh? I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you this, in everything, even when I go and do my political things, when I'm sitting on TV and I'm going to do an interview, I say, Holy Spirit, speak through me today. Let these people see their president. Now, and sometimes I don't even, like, so much as prepare. You know, some of course, but there's some basic preparation. But then there's a scripture which I read long time ago, which I trust. It says, when you come before them, do not meditate in your heart what they will say. You know that scripture? It says, because I will give you a mouth and wisdom that your enemies will not be able to contradict or to match or something like that. Your enemies will not be able to contradict or to resist. You see, eh? Now, you can speak and your enemies cannot resist you. They hate you, but they can't resist you. You're irresistible. Eh? Very important. Luke 21:15. What does it say? For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. And then I also use spiritual means, by the way. Eh? Don't think I do. Let me tell you, there was a time they invited me for a TV. Then I reached there. I thought I was alone. Then I reached there. They told me that they invited some other guy to be with me. And I thought he's not at my level. You know, I'm of a certain level. You understand? So do you know what I did? I have a witness here. I said, who else did you invite? They said, we invited so and so. I said, I'm not going to sit on TV with that person. So I messed him up. He got a puncture. And then after, when the show was about to start, they said, sorry, so and so is not coming. So it's just us. Just the moderator and me. And I had 45 minutes of assuring people. Non-stop. And I worked that in what? I worked that in the spirit. Because I knew the guy is going to come and start trying to defend rubbish and so. So I said, no. And yet if I stand up and walk, the TV would be offended. So I did the next best thing. Now I'm telling you this so that you try it at home. You understand? Eh? There are certain things, like you can do, just say, I don't want him. I don't want them to come here. And you say, no, don't come. And other times, there was a time I almost did it. But this time I said, man, eh? This time I was on another TV. But it says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict. Can you imagine you speak and people just look at you like this? They cannot even contradict. Do you know I've actually seen that? Eh? Eh. I've actually seen that and you talk and people look at you and they're supposed to be experts in that field. Apparently you're a novice. You just came the other day. But you speak and you're irresistible. Now that doesn't come by... because... the cloud of witnesses, praise the Lord. And God has weaned you off wanting to, you know, to impress people and so on, and that childishness and all those things that take people's mind. So he says, go to Hebrews 12 and we finish. Therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, there is a weight. There is a weight. Now, for some people, it is the weight of approval, of seeking approval. There's a weight of competition. There's a weight of, And it says a sin that so easily ensnares people. Now, sometimes when it says a sin, it actually means a weakness that so easily ensnares you. For instance, some people can have a weakness of procrastination. Amen? Hey, and so is so many of you. Where you want to do something, but you're going to first think about it, and now it kills your effectiveness, and it's your weakness, and you've had it all through. Now it says, lay aside every weakness and every sin that so easily ensnares. Now, every person I've learned, every person has one which they have to get rid of. And you say that for me, man. For some reason, I procrastinate. I cannot just say I'm going to do this and I do it. It has to come in stages, something which would take one day takes 1 week. What would take 1 week takes 2 months. And somehow you're that kind of person. And now you have to lay aside that sin that so easily ensnares you. And now also, of course, the enemy knows it. He'll throw it at you every time. And now when he knows somebody told me that had that weakness of procrastination. So they went somewhere to register something, a company. So she reached there and everything was going well because she had this, I'm going to finish this today, come what may. So you reach there, then the system goes down. The system goes down. And then a thought comes into her mind. Java's is near, why don't you guys first go and, catch something to eat. Then, after eating, you come back. I think the system will be back. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? But that is a sin that so easily ensnares. Because if you're somebody who doesn't have that weakness, it's okay. But if you're somebody who has that weakness, you say no. So she said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then even the Lord gave her a scripture in that moment. You know the scripture he gave her? You know God has scriptures for everything, man. The Lord told her, do you remember that young prophet who God told, don't eat anything. Don't turn to eat. Just go until you finished. You understand? So he said, also, you don't eat anything until you finished this. Now the Spirit of God is helping you to overcome a weakness, which is apparent to your weakness. You understand? Some people, a weakness of starting and never finishing. You start something, you never finish it. You never complete anything. All your things, all your projects are three-quarter way. Halfway, quarter way, three-quarter way. And it's a weakness. And it is the sin that so easily ensnares you. And the devil knows that that is your weakness. So every time you start something, you start with bugu-bugu, you're excited. Then creeps in. Then you stop. Then you are starting another thing the next day. While this one is unfinished. Now when you work with the Spirit and you cooperate with the Spirit to take away these weaknesses, there is a way he will remind you, no, don't go anywhere, finish. Finish. Finish until you finish. When you finish 1, 2, 3, then you lay aside. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares you. Now, this non-completion is a very big problem. Very, very big problem. So many people have projects which are somewhere. You are writing a proposal, you reached somewhere. You were doing something, you reached somewhere. And that is how it is. And it has been the biggest weakness, one thing that holds you back. Anyway, my point is, so the Lord told her, don't go to eat. Just like he told that prophet, don't turn to eat anywhere until you've finished. So she sat there and prayed in tongues for the system to come back. And in a few minutes, that come back. And she finished. She did everything she had to do and finished that day, finished the work for that day. Then now you can go and eat your javas and grow fat. That's what the Spirit said, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if you learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of God, he can take all these weaknesses away from you and make you a very effective person. Very effective. You start, you finish, you don't procrastinate. Because these are weaknesses which are developed over a period of time. You are not disciplined. People don't have discipline. You cannot start something and say, I'm going to do this every day. For instance, remember that time when I taught you about Aziz's custom was, Daniel. So you see somebody, like Daniel chapter 6, like there. First go there a bit, we see. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, and of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Verse 3, then it says, Then this Daniel distinguished himself above all governors and satraps. And you think that comes from nowhere. It doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from somewhere. Now, if you don't have the discipline of Daniel, like you see, Daniel knows that the reason he is distinguished and he seems to be going higher and higher and higher. Remember, his workmates were all witches. When they called him from the kingdom of Judah, those people who had some sort of prophetic and what they put them among, the soothsayers, the witches, the magicians and all that. Those were his people. And he had to go above them. Now, there had to be something. He had the discipline. Now, not everybody has that discipline. That's the truth. Some of us struggle to be disciplined. However, if you pray to God and say, man, I am so indisciplined. When I start something, I'll do it for 3 days and I stop. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God can help you properly. And then you find that after some time, you are very disciplined. You can start something and don't stop it. Now, when I used to see people who are that disciplined, I would say, and what do they have? What's so special about them? And now, of course, I know that has always been, that was always my weakness, being disciplined. Where somehow something will come and take your attention, then the next thing you're not doing something. But now, go to verse 10. It says, of course, I've read this scripture for you before, but when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows opened towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom from early days. Now, you wonder why he's the one on top. He's the one who everybody wants. The king wants to put him on top. There is something. It is based on something there, which he does in a disciplined way and every day. And it is the one which brings the success. Now, you underestimate how much the devil wants to break that. Because these people say that there is nothing we can do to this Daniel unless we do it concerning his God. Then they say, let's just ask for 30 days of him not praying. After that, he will have broken his discipline. You know, that's what it takes. They say 30 days. They don't just guess where he's not. Because we know there's nothing we can do as long as he wakes up and prays. Absolutely nothing. Now, for instance, like you. The Lord tells you to do something. Just wake up and pray. Let's say wake up 1 hour before you're supposed to leave home. And pray for that 1 hour. Just that. Then you start. Then you do it until such a time when it starts yielding fruit. And now you are beginning to see the sort of success that Daniel was having. You distinguished yourself. At work, everything seems to be going okay. Like, it's almost like everything you start has success. And you don't know it is rooted in that instruction from God. Now, usually, believers will get to a point and then they say, man, things are good. But yesterday I couldn't wake up because I was very tired. Now you've started. Now you've what? Started. Now pray to God that he gives. Let me tell you. I know how indisciplined I am. But I cooperate with the Spirit of God to help me overcome it. Because that I knew it was a sin that so easily ensnares me. Even procrastination. Even that one, a sin that so easily ensnares. And you're going to do something and you're not finished. Then you take your time and what? And that is who you are. Until the Spirit of God comes and takes over. And now even the crowd of witnesses are seeing. And you've become suddenly a very disciplined person. Structured. You can do something and do it in a structured way. And people say, hey, what's so special about you? The Spirit of God turned your character around and made you somebody or something that you were not. And he is so good at that. Praise the Lord. He's what? Hey. Where you say that I want to wake up at this time. Man, you dare tell the Holy Spirit that. You'll be when you've slept for 30 minutes, and bam, when the time comes. And you will have no sleep whatsoever. Now that's the thing, it's not like an alarm clock. The alarm clock, you wake up and you have mountains of sleep in your eyes. When the Spirit of God wakes you up, the sleep goes. Did you know that? Have you tried it? You wake up and you are awake, and you slept for 1 hour. And then you wake up and then you do what? Then when you finish doing what, then the sleep comes back. Like he suspends it. If it is time for what? For doing what you want. Whatever it is you told him to wake you up to do. Praise the Lord. Now, when we get this, some of you, the sin that so easily ensnares you is jealousy. jealousy, envy, unforgiveness. Like, there are people, man, there are people here who struggle actually with forgiveness. And a number of them. And they can get so angry over something so small. And you wonder, where is love? Praise the Lord. Some people struggle to love, man. They find it easy to hate. But the Spirit of God, if you ask him. Now, there is a guy who said that he had a problem with money. Eh? Somebody was telling me the story. That, you know, people, when he touches money, he doesn't know it is not his. Eh? Like his hands, suddenly everything in him moves in a certain way. Like when there is money in his hands. Eh? So he had no discipline. He had no financial discipline whatsoever. None. Even when money is not his. Even if you give him like 1 million shillings to take from here up to the back of the fridge, by the time he reaches there, it's not 1 million. But he was somebody who loved God. Then he said he went and prayed. And now these are the prayers that I like. Eh? He went and prayed and said, he was telling me the story in Luganda. Mukama, nyamba. He said, he said, now, man, such an honest prayer. He says, like, man, once I get it, suddenly every atom in my body starts moving in a certain way. I know people will never rest until the money is finished. They cannot keep money somewhere. Like, once they get money, they start, their blood starts flowing in a certain direction. You know, the guy actually, after praying that prayer, became financially disciplined. But the things the Spirit of God will do with you, for you, if you just ask him and tell him, man, I have this week. This is the sin that so easily ensnares me. I cannot handle money, man. I cannot keep it. Once I have it, I can't even sleep. Now, some of you cannot even sleep when you have money. Okay, not some of you, but you know, you know there is that thing where somebody is restless because they have money. Now, you pray to God and ask the Spirit of God, man, help me, man, this thing. The truth is, man, this, like that guy, he said, and a very sincere prayer, and it was answered. And slowly by slowly, you start becoming somebody different. And now the people who saw you before start looking at you and saying, there was a time, I will end with this, there was a time I liked comfort. Once I get to a place where I'm comfortable and things are okay, I am okay, I don't push, I don't press. I don't want to, you know, rock the boat. When the boat is sailing properly, I'm there on my hammock, just, you know. But then if I was like that, I would not have been what God has called me to do. So eventually, slowly by slowly, he got me to a place where I cannot settle for something. When I have this, I'm looking for the next one. When I have this, and then somebody said that the Lord told him that if you do not expand, you will lose even the little that you have. That was like everything I needed to hear. If you say that now this is enough, you're going to lose it. We are going to expand until the rapture. And now that is the commission of God. Like if you stop and say now I have my car, this, I have this, I have that, now I'm comfortable. Man, you are in big trouble. You are in very, very big trouble. And of course, sometimes you meet people and they want to put you in that thing. Of course, people don't believe in your dream. I remember when I just come out of prison, where Apostle Paul was cheering me, crowd of witnesses. Then somebody comes and tells you that, what of Archie? You seem to have a good life. Like, you understand? And then you look at them and you want to punch them in the guts, but somehow you remain born again. You understand? Like, how can you reduce life to that? Like, how do you honestly reduce life to now I have my this, I have that. Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, maybe some people are called to be that, but I'm not one of them. And neither are you, praise the Lord. Eh? Neither are you. Amen? Yeah, so the person is giving you this thing that you leave this for people who are broke. Let them be the ones to fight government. You understand? Because for them, they have nothing to lose. Sometimes this comes from people who love you. So you look and say, now imagine if actually I could be taken up by such reasoning. Imagine if I could say also, yeah, man, I have a nice car. If I want another one, I can get it. I have this. If I was there, yeah, man. Yeah, let me sit and take my cappuccino. First heaven, Muslims who got saved, what? on their deathbed, first heaven. But that thing scares me. You think it's a joke, but me, I don't want to end up there. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? You come here and listen to a word every day, much is required of you. There are some people who do not, God is not going to require too much from them because they did not hear the words that you had. Praise the Lord. So man, that thing scares me. Like, and God has entrusted you and you just decide to take cappuccino? How cheap can you make life, not yourself, life, where God is looking at you? We are supposed to roll back a kingdom of darkness. We are supposed to do that. And for you, you say, ah, man, me, I'm okay. There's a time they even asked me that on TV when I came. I said, but now you. Like, look at you. You put on nice suits and you are riding a nice car. What are you talking about? Financial liberation. Then I hammered the guy. The thing even was trending on social media when I'm, and he does not like me. Because God gave me a word and wisdom which cannot be resisted. Which can, there are words I said there, by the way. When I went out, people were laughing at the guy. And I didn't even intend to embarrass him. Praise the Lord. Anyway, but I want you to do this. I want you to have this takeaway from here today. Let this not just be something that you're going to do. Allow God to prune you of those habits, the sin that so easily ensnares you. Okay? Don't accept that this is who I am. I never finish things. Don't let that be like, don't settle there. Say the natural me, honestly, I don't finish things. But the spirit-filled version of me, there is nothing I don't finish that I start. Amen? The natural me procrastinates. But the spirit-filled version of me, when I wake up and I'm going to do something, I will jump out of bed and go and do it immediately and I'm not going to stop. I'm not even going to eat like the prophet until I've finished and I've completed it. Praise the Lord. And there is something, the natural you, the natural me is jealous. But the spiritual version of me is not going to be. I can't be jealous. Amen? Among other things, the sins that so easily ensnare you, which is always there. And the devil knows once you start moving, puts it there and you go back. When you start moving, he puts it there, then you go back until the Lord, Spirit of God helps you and you break free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've finished preaching.
That was The Watchman. Join us for a Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm along Gaba Road near the American Embassy opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 290 555 or +256 755 290 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @V_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.